Good morning, my friends. Shall we begin our worship with singing? Would you stand and sing with us, please?
One, two, three, four, and...
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great! And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. Name above all names, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great.
God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
It's really good to hear from all God's people being here this morning. I'm so glad you made it to church. We got through the rain. Hallelujah. I was just so grateful to see us getting a little bit of rain that we need so desperately. And you came to church despite the difficulties. So thank God for that. When you came in this morning, I hope you got a beautiful greeting from one of our ushers and greeters and a copy of this bulletin, which has all the different things going on in the life of this church. Important things like Mesa today. It's a cooking. Yeah, Mesa? Thank you, Jenny. That is a youth cooking program. If you're a youth member, a teenager, and you want to learn more about making bread and butter, I've been told you're going to make compound butter, then join us for Mesa cooking. It's going to be so fun. Next week is coffee and conversation with the pastor. And what I'm going to ask you to do that next week is give me a few minutes after church. We're going to have a youth meeting in here for youth parents. And then I'm going to go over to the fellowship hall, and I hope you join me, where we will talk about what's gone on the past 2 weeks in the United Methodist Church General Conference. So we'll talk about all the details of that next Sunday after church, 11:30, in the Fellowship Hall. I think that's all I've got for you today. Susan, will you let us begin worship together?
Good morning. My name is Susan Dolnig, and I'm so thankful to be in worship with you today. Please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ. Our scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. I will be reading from the Amplified Bible, and you can find this scripture on your in your pew Bibles on page 655. Listen now for a word from God. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, source of all love, we gather today seeking to deepen our connection with you and with those around us. Open our hearts, O God, to the vastness of your love. Help us to see the reflection of your love in the faces of our brothers and sisters. Grant us the wisdom to see beyond differences and to embrace the common thread of humanity that binds us all. Guide us to express your love in our actions. May our words be kind, our deeds compassionate, and our presence a source of strength and comfort for others. As we meet you in our worship today, Lord, fill us with your grace. Help us to overcome every fear and to see the world with eyes filled with love and understanding. May your love be the foundation for all we do and all we are. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite my kiddos forward for their Spark moment before we head on out to Spark worship. Good morning, guys. Come on down. Hi, Corey and Silas. Hi, Rosella. Hi. I'm glad you guys are here. Come on, take a seat. I want to ask you a question. Have you guys ever been afraid? Was anybody afraid this morning? Did you hear lightning and thunder? Yeah? Did you maybe see it while you were driving? I saw it while I was driving to work, but I was here very early. And I don't like storms so much. Do you guys like storms? Some people love them, right? They love the sound of the rain and the crashing. Some people really don't like them. You like splashing in the puddles after the storm, right? That's the best. That's right. That's the best part. You slip in the puddles. Let's not do that. We are always facing things that can make us scared and afraid. And when we're going through stuff like that, there are a couple things we can do, right? We can talk to others and ask for help, right? We can go to our grown-ups that we trust. We can go to our friends and say, hey, I'm scared right now. Will you talk with me? We can use tools at our disposal. If you are scared of something because you don't understand it, you can look it up in the dictionary. Or if you have a grown-up, look it up online, right? Use our fantastic friend Google and ask him about it. And you can lean in and you can trust your roots, the things you already know, right? We talked a couple weeks ago about trusting our roots and our faith and using those roots to dig down deep when we experience storms in our lives. There are all sorts of times that you are going to experience a storm in your life. Not a real one, but something that's shaking you up. And today in Spark Worship, we're going to talk about how to make it through those storms by trusting our roots, by turning to this book and looking to the examples in here and using it as a way that we can navigate ours. Because there are so many storms inside this book, but there's also so many solutions that we can look to. So when we go to Spark Worship today, we're going to talk about even though faith. We're going to talk about having that faith even though we're scared. Not because of God doing something or not if he does something for us. Even though we are scared, we know that we have that faith in him, right? And we are going to sing, and we're going to dance, and we're going to make a craft. My little kids, we're going to make a telescope so we can focus on God. Woo! Does that sound like fun? All right, let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, fold our hands, and say, Dear God.
Dear God.
Help us to trust in you.
Help us to trust in you.
And have faith in your plan.
And have faith in your plan.
Because you are always with us.
Because you are always with us.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to walk quietly straight out the back for Spark Worship and line up at the door.
Thank you, Jesse. As usual, what a wonderful message for us and a great craft. I can't wait to see what you've done after worship today. Sometimes she makes extra for me. So if you don't get yours at home today, I'm sorry, I got it. We come together to pray corporately during these pastoral prayers where I offer for the people of God in this place our prayers that we lift before God, things that are going on in our lives and the lives of the world and that are important to us. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And as we pray, at the end of a sentence, you'll hear me say, Lord, hear our prayer, we say together. So let us go before God in prayer. Dear holy and awesome God, we gather before you today, hearts filled with both gratitude and humility. We are grateful for your unconditional love, a love that embraces all your creation, from the vast expanse of the universe to the tiniest sparrow. We acknowledge our shortcomings, O God, in caring for your magnificent creation. Forgive us for the times we have polluted the air, poisoned the water, neglected the earth's resources. Grant us wisdom and strength to become better stewards, to protect the beauty and diversity of your handiwork for generations to come. Lord, hear our prayers. Merciful God, we lift up to you with love and concern all who are suffering from illness or injury. Grant them comfort in their pain, strength in their weakness, and healing in the touch of your presence. Remind them of your unfailing love and surround them with support and care of their loved ones. Lord, hear our prayers. Forgiving God, we confess our sins, both of omission and commission. Forgive us for the times we have strayed from your path, for the words that have hurt, for the actions that have caused pain. Cleanse our hearts, renew our spirits, and guide us back to the path of righteousness. And may your love be a beacon that leads us forward and a source of strength in times of need. And a wellspring of hope that never runs dry. Lord, hear our prayers. And now we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, the prayer that he taught his disciples as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are United Methodist. We are rooted in faith, growing in love, reaching out in hope together as a family. Just last week, I started this sermon series on how we are rooted in faith. You might remember the story of Dick Baldwin and John Denton and J.B. Briggs trying to get that tree down, but the roots were deep, and we had a really hard time. That's the kind of faith we want to have, is deep-rooted faith, that we know who we are and we know whose we are. We talked about how Christians can stay strong through their faith in Jesus Christ. And today we're talking about growing in love. Karl Barth, you might know who he is. He was a highly influential Swiss Reformed Protestant theologian of the 20th century. And he explored various theological treaties on both practice of our faith and what Christian faith and belief means. And when I was in seminary, we spent many hours studying what Barth had to say in his work called Church Dogmatics. It was some 6 million words long. I don't know who counted them. But that was Barth's treaty on Christians' beliefs and Christian practices. So in 1962, he came to the United States. That was the only time he ever came to the U.S. And he had a big group of people who wanted to hear him speak because of his wisdom, because of his deep faith, because of his 6 million words in the dogmatics. And so they asked him a question, and they thought he would have a very profound statement when someone said to him, "Can you tell us a little bit about what it means to have Christian faith?" And after a short pause, he said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." These simple words, Barth summarized the essence of all Christian theology in a way that even a child could understand. What a beautiful sentiment. Do you know the song? Will you sing it with me really loud so I don't have to sing loud? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We all learned this song when we were probably wee little children, and it gave us faith to sustain us through any difficulty. And here we are now, most of us all grown up, and we still know the words of that song. And so maybe what Barth said was true, that it is the foundation of our Christian theology that God loves us, that God's love is clear, it's comforting. God loves everyone, providing a foundation of security and acceptance and a sense of comfort for us to face any challenge, any worry, or any fear. Jesus loves me brings us a sense of peace and longing and belonging, that Jesus loves us throughout our lives, offering us everything. Every comfort and guidance, that God is working for us and has a great plan for each and every one of us. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Together with words from Scripture, let's read from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and then we're going to look at verse 38 and 39 as well. And let's see what the Bible says to us today in these verses. I will be reading as well from the Amplified Bible. You can find it in your pew Bibles if you want to open it up, or on your cell phone. I love that y'all read Scripture on your cell phone because you can get a variety of different versions on your cell. So we're reading Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 28, and then again 38 and 39. Will you now listen for a word from God? And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for the good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. For I am convinced, and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I wonder, do you have great confidence in the love of God? I'll let you think about that a second. Can you proclaim with certainty that God is for you? Can you declare with assurance that the love of God is with you? I wonder, do you believe that we serve a loving God who cares for us no matter what? Can you trust and never doubt that God loves you and counts you as a precious child, and nothing can change that?
Yes.
Well, I hope you can make a resounding yes. I heard a few yeses. The Bible is a book about love, and the central message is that God loves us, God is for us, God has always loved us, and will always love us. Let that soak in a little bit. God loves us. The Bible tells us so. And love is not just a Christian message. It is the Christian message that the Bible tells us. These words are good news for us, regardless of our human failings, regardless of how many times we've messed up or will mess up. God loves us. There's a song that was written and performed in 1965. Some of y'all aren't even old enough. I have shoes probably that are 1965 vintage. Anyway, in 1965, there's a song, a little song written by Burt Bacharach, who was "What the World Needs Now." And some of us oldies but goodies remember, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of." Dionne Warwick sang it. A lot of really famous people sang it. "What the world needs now." You think that's the same in 1965 as it is today? What the world needs now is God's love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. And we know that God loves us when we look to John 3:16. It's another one of those little verses that anyone who was raised up in the church memorized those verses. You don't have to open a Bible. You can say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, you know these words, that God loves you, but too often we forget it. And too often we believe in the world and what the world has to say about us, not about what God has to say about us. It is through the love of God that we have hope. And even when we experience disagreements and despair, the Bible says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. I like that. No thing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And what the world needs now is God's love, sweet love. In an autobiography, I read about a Baptist missionary. Her name was Trula Kronk. That's her real name. And Trula wrote a book about her experience in being a missionary in India. The book is called Over the Mountain, Plain or Sea. And in it, she tells of a little girl that came to her. And she was ministering to the little Indian girl and her family. And it got a little late, and it was time for the little girl to go home. And she said, "I'm afraid to walk home." And Trula said to her, "You don't have to be afraid. God takes care of you. God will take care of you." And the little girl replied solemnly, "No, Masahabib, God does not love little girls." Trula Kronk never forgot that statement and made it her life work to tell little girls everywhere that God is love. And indeed, God loves them. Too many people, little boys, little girls, big boys, big girls, cannot believe, for whatever reason, that God loves them. And I want you, as believers in Jesus Christ, to stand up and start telling people that God loves them. God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, out of love for us. And we can't go beyond God's love. As a matter of fact, part of the problem is not only that people don't believe that God loves them, they don't even believe the church loves them. Maybe they think that God favors certain kinds of people. Maybe that God doesn't love everyone. Maybe there are classes or races or genders. But we must dispel that terrible misunderstanding. We must dispel, because God loves everyone deeply, stubbornly, eternally, insistently. God loves you. And yes, God even loves people that we have trouble loving. Do you have any trouble loving certain people? You can tell me the truth. I'm your pastor. Thank you, Smitty. You know that person that cut you off in traffic? God loves them. You know that person that was rude to you in the grocery store? God loves them. You know that entire nation of people across the ocean that we deeply mistrust and even fear? God loves every one of them. God loves you. And this is the most important fact of life, that God loves you. That the eternal being who created everything, everything that has ever been, everything that will ever be, that God created, God loves. And this is a profound truth, that God's love should help us to begin every single day and end every single night with that thought. Make that our goal, to remember that God loves us. In every single action, we should remember that God loves us. And God doesn't love us only when we do good or when we behave. God is personally and passionately committed to loving us, whether we're good or even when we fail. God loves us. What would happen, I wonder, if that became our theme in life? If we truly believed that God loved us, no matter what, how might we live our life differently? John Wesley believed that one of the greatest hallmarks of United Methodism was love. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the hope that we have through the United Methodist Church. I hope you don't mind, but, you know, our trust and confidence, like Susan read from Isaiah 41, tells us there's nothing to be afraid of. And once Eleanor Roosevelt actually said, "If I had no fear, what would I do today?" Now, I've seen signs of God's great love for us this week as I have been plugged in religiously following General Conference on live stream. It's on every day, and I am just totally hooked in watching what's going on in the meetings in Charlotte, North Carolina. The General Conference of 2020, because remember, we missed it in 2020, so we're having to make it up. They are the governing body of the United Methodist Church around the world, and they represent some 133 annual conferences. There are 862 voting delegates, half clergy, half lay people. They represent 133 conferences around the world, five continents, United States, Africa, Philippines, and Europe. They represent in total some 12 million United Methodist people around the world. And like any legislative body, they must work cooperatively for the life of the church. They're practicing what John Wesley called holy conferencing. And remember last week I told you what Wesley said. He said, "We may not all think alike, but we can love alike." And that's what they're doing. Whatever does not strike at the very heart of Christianity, we will let it go. This quote came from a sermon he preached called The Catholic Spirit, where Wesley was arguing, which I love, he was arguing for Christian unity despite disagreements, despite very specific doctrine differences in doctrine and practice. See, he believed in the Christian value of love. He thought that love could unite any people, even if they had a different interpretation of faith. And we United Methodists believe that God's love is unconditional. Check. Not dependent upon us, our actions, or merits. We believe that God's love is patient. God has shown us enduring patience despite our shortcomings. And we believe that God's love is sacrificial in the form that he sent his only son, our Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of us to bridge the gap between God and us. God's love is a gift so freely given in that giving frees us to give back to others. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things that God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And our purpose, my friends, is to spread God's love. That's our purpose. A love that works for good, even when life throws hard things our way. A love that guides us and strengthens us, and it molds us into the people that we were created by God to be. And God's love is not meant to be a solitary experience. We are called to reflect it back into the world. We are called to be vessels of God's love for others. How do we do this? I'm glad you asked. Simple. Follow the example of Christ. By following how Christ loved others unconditionally, that we might look beyond our differences, beyond our social standing, beyond our past mistakes. Oh, that we could see people as God sees people. Oh, that we could see each soul as worthy of God's love. Oh, that we could practice forgiveness. Just as God forgives us, we are called to forgive others. And we say the Lord's Prayer every single Sunday in church. And we say the Lord's Prayer at home. Many of you have that practice of saying it once every day at least. And do you know those words that we say to God every time we pray that prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as
we forgive those who trespass against us.
So you prayed it too. Holding on to grudges isolates us from the love of God that we are called to give to others. We can show love. We can show compassion by reaching out to those in need, by giving a kind word, yeah? By showing a helping hand. Our actions are testament to our love burning within us. And you know that love, it's not always easy. But it is our calling. It requires sacrifice. Oh, you mean I can't be all about me if I'm loving others? No, you can't. And sometimes that love calls us to let go. Let go of all that past nonsense. We talked last week about faith, and we said that Wesley told us to be present in the moment. What you cannot control, let go of and move past. Friends, that's about 90% of our life that we worry about. Stuff that we have no control over. As a Christian, as a Methodist, showing the love of God, we have to let go and forgive others. It requires that sacrifice. But the rewards are so huge. When we live in love, we build bridges. We mend broken hearts. We create a community that reflects the love of God. And my friends, that's what United Methodists do. It was in 1740 that our founder, John Wesley, wrote a little pamphlet. And the pamphlet, you can look it up now, it's called The Character of a Methodist. He wrote that pamphlet for a couple of reasons. First, to address the criticism. Methodism was a brand new following. He didn't even want it to be a separate religion or denomination. But people who were Methodists at the time were being highly criticized. And he wanted to deal with some of that criticism and opposition from the Church of England. He aimed to defend this movement by outlining the behaviors and standards of Christian character for Methodists. And it also served to set some standards for us, standards that even today we hold ourselves to. Wesley used this missive to call Methodists to live to a higher standard of Christian character. I didn't hear a hallelujah or anything on that. Hallelujah. Wesley wanted us to live to a higher standard of Christian character. Are you doing that, friends? Are you living into the highest moral value of love of God and others in your Christian character? This means following Scripture, doing good works. This means living a life that's transformed. This means being joyful. I want to see some joy, people, because that's the gift God has given us, joy. The hallmark of Methodist character in this missive says that God is love. The hallmark is love. It is in our spiritual DNA, brothers and sisters, to love one another, to love God. And Mr. Wesley wrote this when he asked, "Who is a Methodist according to your own account?" He answered, "A Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost given unto him. One who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength, that God is the joy of their heart and the desire of his soul, which he is constantly crying out, 'Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee.' May God be my all in all, though the strength of my heart I decide forever." Oh, that love would lead our lives that way. Wouldn't that be awesome if that kind of love would guide our lives? Our hearts, our actions, our words, our voting, that the love of God would rule so deeply in your life that you answer the call to be a Methodist. You remember Methodist term was at first a very derisive, is that the right word? It was not a kind thing. They were called Methodists because they had a method of discipleship. And that's what we do. We've grown into that. Are we Methodist? Are we striving to lead our lives guided by the Spirit of God? That's all we got. Mr. Wesley finally said this, "The fruits of living faith are the only marks by which Methodists seek to distinguish themselves from the unbelieving world, from all whose minds or lives are not lived according to the gospel of Christ. As for real Christians of whatever group or denomination, those who are sincerely seeking the things of God, which they know they have not yet attained. We do not wish to be distinguished from them at all. Who are we? We are United Methodist, who are rooted in faith, growing in love, reaching out in hope, and united together as a family. May it be so, O Lord, may it be so. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Big amen. This week, as I was preparing and going over the order of service, I asked my husband, Pat, I said, why do we give to the church? So we started talking, we had conversation, and we felt that when we give to the church, it has more to do with building and strengthening our relationship with God. And Pastor Cheryl had us recite John 3:16, and Pat and I started talking about that, the same verse, because it tells us that God so loved the world that he gave. And this scripture simply isn't just like, yay, church promotional or a good witnessing tool. Let's use John 3:16. It shows us the heart of God and gives us a picture of the meaning of the Christian life. And if there's one thing that the New Testament teaches us, it's that God is love. God is love. And that those of us who claim to believe in him ought to love one another, just as Pastor Cheryl had in her sermon, we ought to love one another as he loves us. So the message for us in John 3:16 is that love gives. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering?
You can bend my burdens and make them beautiful. You can bring the healing to the hurt I hold. Who else could part the waters when I need it away? Though I'm walking through the valley, I believe when you say,
for the good, you work all things together. For the good, your promise stands forever. You alone are my greatest hope. I trust you on the broken road. You work all things together like only you could. For the good.
Stand in body or spirit for our doxology. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is with grateful hearts we acknowledge your constant presence and unfailing love. With this offering, we humbly reflect your generosity. All that we have comes from you, and we desire to return a portion in service and gratitude. We pray that you use these gifts to further your work in the world, spreading your love and bringing hope to those in need. May this offering be a symbol of our commitment to following your will and living according to your purpose. Guide us to be faithful stewards of your blessings, using our resources to build your kingdom and serve others. We trust that you will use this offering, along with everything we have, to accomplish your good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So today I'm here to talk to you for our moment of mission. And have you seen people wearing these? These people who are wearing these aprons today are a very special group who are members of our Hot Meals on Wheels ministry team. If you have an apron on, please stand. And here's our team. Thank you. Thank you. Now, what does that mean, you might ask? The purpose of our team is to provide meals to families in our congregation in the events of bereavement or an illness on a short-term basis. The chair of this group is Nancy Collins. Nancy, wave your hand. There she is. And Nancy, along with this lady back here, Pastor Cheryl, she will inform Nancy of families who are experiencing a need for meals, or you may also just contact Nancy directly. Nancy will then reach out to the family, and she'll determine their needs. She will ask about food allergies and diet restrictions, and she'll get the count of the family number of family members. Once all the details are figured out, Nancy will determine on who on our team, that those with the aprons, who will provide the meals to the family. Usually we do it alphabetically. The person delivering the meal will contact the family to schedule a convenient delivery time. As you can see, we have many members of our congregation who are willing to help your family with a home-cooked meal and when that need arises. We are a fun group of people. We are 18 strong. We love to cook and help others. And we were officially organized this past September, and last year between July and to this date, we have already provided 49 meals for members of our congregation. And we give all glory to God our Father. Amen. It's a great ministry. At this time, I now invite Phil Kruger, who feels called to offer a prayer for our country.
Thank you, Susan. America's the greatest country and the most successful country in the world. Lately, I've been feeling bad things are happening to our country. Of course, Texas is also the greatest state. I want to mention that. But I feel these things, and I think that as Christians, we should all personally offer a prayer for America. Let's keep it what it is. Let's keep it going. Let's keep these evil things that are happening out of our country. That's all I have to say. Amen.
So, we have praised God today. We have had Scripture open up to us. We've had the Holy Spirit descend upon us to give us strength and power. And I pray transformation that you might love, go out into the world in love. If you watch anything today at the General Conference, you can go online to umc.org, and they have worships every morning that a bishop has led. And it's powerful worship to hear the words of the bishops encouraging us. And one bishop in particular said, he's done with the fighting. He's done with the disunity. The people who are here want to be United Methodist. And what I want you to do, he says, is love one another. And then he said, when was the last time you brought someone to Jesus Christ? Because the church is not about the business unless we're bringing people who are hopeless, who are in pain, who are suffering, who need Jesus Christ. When is the last time you brought a person to Jesus Christ? Every week we stand together and we say our mission statement. A mission statement that is well in line with what the United Methodist Church mission statement is. We kind of knocked it off for them, but we added community. Will you please stand as you're able and join me as we say what we believe our mission is. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. We are called to bring people to Jesus Christ. So when we send you out into this world, you've been fed. God loves you. God has poured everything you need in order to do this mission into you. So I send you forth into that very world to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Will you do it? Amen. Will you do it?
Yes.
Will you do it?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much for being in worship today. I know that God loves you, that you're here because of that love, and I charge you to go forth and share it with others. Thank you, Susan, for your leadership in worship today and for you just being here and praising God and going forth into the world. So I send you forth in the power of this blessing. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit claims you and sends you out in love for the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.